Yeah. Good day, good life, good world to all of you out there. Happy Sunday, you know what I'm saying? After the resurrection Sunday. Hey, look, you still here too. That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. We appreciate that. We like that. And it's time to talk about wrestling and maybe some other life things that might help you out in the process. You dig? So without further ado, man, it is time for the first Black Champ podcast, and I'm still the pick, longest reigning probably by now. Hacksaw him, Duggan. Camp from the Port.
Now, VP JR Bang, also the DOC. Make sure y'all rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at FBC_POD, Instagram FBC.POD. Click the link in the bio. Get that merch. Also, let me go ahead and read this because we got events.
60 seconds flat, bang. How about that?
Dead ass, about that? You know what I'm saying? we got events and shit, too. You know what I'm saying? The Barbershed Network NFL Draft Watch Party. It is going down on Thursday, April 22nd at Haymarket Pub and Brewery out here in Chicago. That's 737 West Randolph, right there in the West Loop. 5 to 10 p.m. hosted by who? The VP, JR Bang, this bitch. You know what I'm saying? By the label, brought to you by Haymarket Pub, the label, and of course, Barbershed Network. So y'all make sure y'all go to the bcnet.com to RSVP. You can't get in unless you RSVP. So, hey, man, y'all know if I'm hosting, it's going to be a grand old time. So y'all go ahead and show up. Show out. Let's see who the Bears pick in this year's draft. Let's see who's the number one pick in the draft. You know what I'm saying? So y'all make sure y'all show up the Haymarket Pub for the NFL Watch Party brought to you by Barbershed Digital.
Nice. Look at that, man. Two and some change, man.
You know what I'm saying? You know, yes. I try. I ain't no professional, but I'm a professional. You know,
you know what I'm saying? Hey, we're ahead of the curve.
As you know, yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? You know, if we was getting graded, we gonna be okay. You know what I'm saying? We gonna be okay up here. But man, a lot of things to talk about today, and I want to start off, Kent, with what I would consider something that needed to be said because. There's a lot of stuff that was starting to leak out after the sale. Mm-hmm. Vince McMahon reportedly changed scripts and tore stuff up, and they had to do numerous amount of rewrites before Raw after WrestleMania, which we both said was terrible.
Yeah, man.
It was the pits. But SmackDown turned out good. This past week of Raw turned out good. This week's SmackDown was decent.
Yeah.
So apparently, Vince McMahon, according to reports, Vince McMahon sent an email out to all of the employees here in the WWE to let everybody know Triple H got it. He's in charge of creative. Let me just say this now before I pass it over to Kemp. I told y'all niggas. Told y'all. The Raw after WrestleMania was so bad that Endeavor had to go to him and be like, hey, let Paul do him. You over there with us, fam. Let Paul do him.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that Raw after Mania looked like Vince McMahon had just bought the company and said, hey, let me try this. That's what the Raw after Mania look, and that is so surprising, coming from the architect of the Raw after Mania. You know what I'm saying? And WrestleMania itself.
Yeah.
So it was totally like it was. I mean, look, disappointment is just the word, and it's the understatement at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I told y'all on the show, this man ain't in charge of shit. Mm-hmm. No more after this Raw after WrestleMania. Endeavor was like, look, hold on, fam. So I know you thought by us doing this and we giving you this executive chairman shit that things was going to be popping. But that ain't the case, Jack. We going to let Paul do him. Y'all can talk, but all roads lead through Buddy over here. Because we bought y'all, and then we looking on Twitter and Instagram, and everybody talking shit. And I don't know who these journalists y'all be talking to, people be talking to, but we don't know who Dave Meltzer is over here, fam. Yeah.
And don't care.
We don't like this, so y'all got to cut this out, fam. So, but we'll see how these next couple of weeks go. Yeah. And again, Friday, Monday, this past Friday, Vince McMahon sent that email out. Hey. Yeah, he got it. He got it.
You know what I'm saying?
But my question to you is what now it feels like to me, it officially feels like to me, that Vince McMahon is no longer in control, period. I think that before the sale, when he started to finesse himself in, of course, it was always the worry. It was always the, he might, you know, it is Vince. He still owns this joint.
Right.
But now when you sell the majority of the shares to Endeavor, you ain't got the majority no more.
Right.
You can't just come in and be like, ha-ha. Like, you went to owner to employee real quick.
Yeah.
So what does what do you believe this really means for the WWE going forward?
I think this is truly the real changing of the guard, right? Even though Triple H is still fruit from the McMahon tree, he still has his own ideas. You know, his wife is still a McMahon. They're still going to be just elements of that just McMahon flavor. But I don't think it's going to be overbearing, and it's definitely just not going to be Vince. I think even when we look back at it, when we look back at it, right, even when Shane and Stephanie were GMs of SmackDown, it still felt different, even though a lot of just those Vince McMahon core values and competencies and best practices, if you will, were always a part of Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to still get a lot of that because now, even though NXT was its own entity and it didn't run just like a Raw or a SmackDown, Triple H is a guy who benefited from how Raw and SmackDown were ran. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got a guy who's creatively benefited from both shows, was one of the flag bearers for one show. Well, actually, two, you know, because DX did their thing, even though, you know, I don't think, well, it was already established as what it was before Triple H really got in his stride.
Yeah.
But everything about that first draft and SmackDown, that's all Triple H and the new guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what that show was. Rock, Triple H, and the new guys. Well, Undertaker, too. Respect. So I think you're going to get that. I think, you know, and on the flip side, I think we're seeing what we see in a lot of corporate companies, right? Eventually, the lead chairman, the ultimate breadwinner, the guy with the most shares, just gets old AF, and he got to sit the F down. And now what they're doing in the most polite way possible is like, hey, here's your chair, OG. Yeah, it's right here. Sit down, listen to what we're doing. Because we value you. We respect you. We know you got us here. But need to loosen up the grip, that old strong-ass grip that you got on that baton. You need to let that fucker go, bro.
Yeah, basically you saying that this is basically your lifetime achievement. We just gave you about $3-4 billion. This executive chairman thing is really just ceremonial at this point.
Yes.
Relax and collect your bread.
Absolutely. It's like, hey, like you was there with the press conference. Look, we know this is a $21.2 billion deal. We trying to see 25, but you got to sit down so we can get to it.
Oh, Vince McMahon is Lady Eloise.
Hey, yeah.
This is Boomerang.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Vince McMahon is Lady Eloise.
Like, literally, too. Like, in real life.
In real life, because Lady Eloise was having sex with employees, too.
You know what I'm saying?
Marcus Dawg. Now,
I am not wearing any panties.
That's, now, I'm sure that's what he's saying to the young ladies.
Right. I don't think Marcus Graham was, you know. I don't know. I don't want to put nothing out there. I don't want to get sued, y'all. Y'all just read the documents.
Yeah.
Go and, yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about.
I will say, though, he breaking them off and paying. Lady Eloise was just like, hey, look, I told the girl that you want to hit and what you going to do.
Thought you was going to get that promotion, fam.
Nah.
Nah. We just had sex and I ain't got no more power.
Yeah.
Damn. Vince McMahon is really Lady Eloise out here.
That's wild, isn't it?
Damn. What's up with that? That's it's wild out here in these streets, man. Thanks, Trey. Mm-hmm. It's wild when your son comes up here and be like, yo, dad, here goes some food during the podcast. That's dope.
Man.
So, that being said, though, if that's the route we going,
mm-hmm.
Where do you see the WWE going forward? Like, I know Nick Khan is the president and everything, but when I see Dana White for the UFC, that's how I see Triple H.
Okay.
I don't give a fuck about no Nick Khan.
Yeah.
I give Triple H is my man.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't give a fuck about any of the other guys at the UFC. Look, as far as I'm concerned, Dana White always owned the UFC. I don't know nothing about them other niggas who actually owned it.
And ain't Googled to find out anything.
Right, to find out anything. Dana White might have the title as president.
Mm-hmm.
He owned that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, what? Like, how was that dynamic? Because for real, like, I believe that when it comes to the WWE, it's Paul and then it's y'all.
Yeah, for sure.
At this and point.
Not only do I agree with you, but I was literally going to say, as we were dissecting this topic here, once Triple H told me that the draft was going to be bigger and better than ever and all this, and he sold the draft, I was like, okay, so I don't even start counting the days post VKM until the draft. Like, oh, it's like that. So to me, all of this is just a. You know what? We just waiting for the deposit. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to chill. We're going to sit at the crib for a minute. We're going to get the $5 pizza, not the $25 one. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get the 50-cent drafts, not the 250 joints. And we're just going to chill for a minute. Let the deposit hit. And then we're going to get on our shit.
Now, the draft is in 2 weeks now.
Right. So literally, to me, this is the first time in the history of just like the WWE and that WrestleMania period where it's like, we shouldn't expect anything. WrestleMania night one, especially, was fantastic. WrestleMania weekend, great. Very positive overall. Good look for the company. The Endeavor deal happens, set in stone. The OG F up Raw, but they don't let them touch SmackDown. We're still gearing up for the draft. Corey Graves, Michael Cole, selling it. So to me, they putting people that's definitely going to be future Endeavor on TV. So like, so we are just in the, hey, just let the deposit hit. We good. I'm not counting none of this. Even though, technically that would be the 2 weeks. So WrestleMania Backlash, Puerto Rico, May 6th. I think that is like what the draft is going to happen with after that, right? Is it that Monday?
That week? I think it's that Monday, because it's two weeks from this past Monday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah. So dig it. Dude, let the future Endeavor people rock, making sure that they earn their check on the way out. Figure out those final teams and factions we about to break up. Figure out what we're gonna do with these new belts if they definitely are coming, and then we off to the races. I think what we're in for, and this is what we should be focused on, seeing tomorrow, we should be looking for the best or one of the biggest and best summers of wrestling ever from the WWE? That's what I think the focus is on.
Yeah, I think this draft has to be iconic.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be along the lines of the first draft.
Yes.
And I can't remember which draft it was, but the draft that John Cena was drafted the Raw.
Mm-hmm. If that wasn't the first one, it was like...
I know it wasn't the first one.
No, I'm sorry. It was the third one.
The draft is on the 28th, and the draft is on the 28th, so good luck. So, yeah, the 28th and May 1st for Raw. So, shouts out to... Ooh, yeah, I will be...
Brandon, thank you, man. Appreciate you, bro.
Man, it's lit. I'll be off. So, it's barber's chair,
mm-hmm.
Raw, wife's birthday. Mm-hmm. I mean, SmackDown, Brighton's right, Raw, that.
Bang.
So talking about. So
God moving.
Yes, I need these days off too. But no, let me go back. I think this Raw, this draft has to be iconic. Mm-hmm. It has to move the needle. I don't think these drafts, these last couple of years, have done that.
No.
I think that even though we're talking about wrestling and even though we're talking about TV, at the end of the day, we're talking about As the World Turns
mm-hmm.
for niggas. At the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
This draft has to move the needle. And using soap operas, this draft has to be so iconic. Eric Kane got to go over to One Life to Live. And Vicky got to go to All My Children.
Mm-hmm.
That's how iconic this has to be.
Yeah.
In order for Triple H to really set the tone and show that he in charge, he has to make some changes where it's like, oh, no, Vince wouldn't have made that change at all, Jack. Yeah, we can't be out here talking about some Rey Mysterio's draft at the Raw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Hey, and on top of that, because I do believe this, draft being iconic, all of that, not only do we need to see some players, it's like, oh, wow, we're making it a point to really change that. Somebody got to lose a title.
Right.
On both shows.
Somebody
got to lose a title on both shows.
As we will talk about today,
mm-hmm.
It ain't going to be Roman.
Yeah.
But something got to happen during this. Somebody, the belts got to be split.
Mm-hmm.
Gunther got to lose or something.
Yeah.
Or like Austin Theory got to lose to the incoming person for the U.S. It had to be something like that.
Yeah. Hey, and the thing is, y'all, I'm saying it now. Big, iconic to me, ain't the Usos beating Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn again.
Yeah, no, that's
it funny. Ain't.
Because they do have a title match in 2 weeks, they said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can't be that.
Yeah. So, shoot, because I think they're going to get like Giovanni Vinci need to beat Austin Theory. When he get drafted to Raw.
Ludwig
Kaiser need to beat him.
I got it. So I got it. If this is J.R. Bang, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
This is ain't nobody else. If y'all agree, y'all agree. If y'all don't, I don't give a fuck. Y'all listen to the show for numbers of years, fam. Y'all know how I am. In order for this draft to be iconic, the day of the draft, they have to announce that they're splitting the title. Roman Reigns got to be mad and be like, you know, fuck this, I'm out. if y'all gonna do this, then y'all not gonna see me tonight. All right, cool, go home. But we're gonna take one of those belts,
mm-hmm.
and then Kevin and Sammy and them ain't gonna care,
right?
I hear. So if Kevin and Sammy is on SmackDown, Roman's on SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
then there has to be a tag team and a world title tournament
mm-hmm.
during the show.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
during the show,
mm-hmm.
which will crown a new world mm-hmm. WWE World Champion and a new WWE Raw Tag Team Champion. It has to be done that night. Like similar to Rey Mysterio winning the title and then having to face John Cena the same night, only for John Cena to win it and then CM Punk come through and be like, yo, what up, my I'm back, it's like, oh shit. Like, it has to be the night of the draft. You cramp, and it could be just a 4-person tournament, a 4-team tournament. Doesn't have to be, you know, this ain't got to be WrestleMania 4. It could be Bobby Lashley versus Austin Theory, because technically he's the Raw Heavyweight Champion right now.
Yeah.
And then Seth Rollins versus
Riddle at this point.
Riddle. And then Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley for the World Heavyweight Championship. And Seth Rollins becomes the champion. Bang. Now, tag teams is a little bit different. But if y'all ain't breaking up the Street Profits is getting that tag team championship. It could be the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy. And the winner gets the championship. And you know what's wild? Based off of what I said should have happened, the day after Thanksgiving, I wouldn't mind Alpha Academy winning the championships and Street Profits breaking up the same night.
Hey.
That's how the Raw after WrestleMania has to be.
Yeah.
It should have been. So since we ain't got that, and this draft is so important, that's what we need to see in 2 weeks. Yeah. Seth Rollins, your world champion. He faces Bobby Lashley and he defeats him. The Street Profits versus Alpha Academy. Alpha Academy beats the Street Profits, and either Montez or Angelo is like, fuck this, and then beats the other person's ass because they ain't got the belts. Roman gets mad because he loses one belt, but his title reign stays on. And Sammy and KL don't care anyway. I'm tired of holding two of these joints.
Yeah.
That has to happen for me, for the draft to be iconic. The way that Triple H needs it to be to state his claim as the true head of creative, and everything runs through him. It cannot be, it can't be Gunther goes to Raw and Austin Theory goes to SmackDown. Like, it can't be that. It has to be Undertaker drafted to Raw and he like, the fuck? I'm about to go beat Ric Flair's ass. And that ended up being a WrestleMania match.
Hey, and also with that, Bang, I want to throw out things like this. I want to throw out things like Bron Breakker being drafted to Raw. And he's like, yo, I'm won a U.S. title shot. I need the Raw Heavyweight Championship right now. Austin Theory come out. Austin Theory get beat. And we like, whoa. and then Austin Theory gets drafted to SmackDown. So fuck doing this next week. that's what we mean when we say iconic. Hey, look, iconic means everything can change around you but Roman Reigns, because we just don't do that on Raw for Roman Reigns at this point. If he was on day 97, yeah, then we do that.
Yeah,
but not on well, what will be 1,000 and some change coming up, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah.
Yeah, nah. This has to be mental. We got to talk about this draft for years to come.
Ross, you're right. I thought so too.
Oh yeah, we're not even gonna get onto that, because some of the stuff that I heard that was supposed to go down after the Raw after WrestleMania.
Man. They had it. VKM though.
Yeah.
VKM though. Yeah.
All right, man, it's time for me to make Latinos mad.
Hey, orale, let's do it.
Just going to start off by saying this. The faction that nobody ever gave a fuck about was the Latino World Order. And that's Latinos included. Nobody gave a fuck about the Latino World Order, y'all. I knew Mexicans. I have Mexican friends. Them marks wasn't like, yo, I know y'all got the NWO, but we got the LWO. Nah. Nobody gave a shit about Eddie Guerrero bringing all of the mask wrestlers together, because y'all got to do this for La Raza. Yeah, why? because the NWO used to beat the shit out of that faction because they called themselves the LWO.
Yeah.
I say that to say this. I really don't give a fuck about Rey Mysterio and the LWO. I am sorry. This was whoever made this decision. Triple H, if this was a decision of yours, this was dumb.
Yeah.
This was like Santos Escobar. I've said Santos Escobar can replace and do Roberto Del Rio did. But y'all put this nigga in the Latino world order for Rey Mysterio Jr. This is the dumbest shit.
Yeah. And not for nothing. LDF was already more popular than LWO. If we're just framing it correctly, LDF was on a roll. I don't think that there was anything wrong with what they were doing. I think this is just showing the OG a little too much respect at this point.
Man.
It's like, why can't LDF just be helping Rey Mysterio? Why they got to join the LWO? It's like, fam, you need to come over here with us. You see us? We got the finest tequilas and titties over here. Like, what is you doing? Like, we don't need to roll with you in your flag shirt, bud. Look what we're doing over here. We got it. We really like that.
Especially when it's not going to be Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar, Damian Priest and Dominic Mysterio. It's going to be Rey Mysterio and Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
So y'all going to like shockingly tell us that Bad Bunny is bankrolling this new generation of the Latino world order? Nah. Like, is he the Eric Bischoff of the Latino world order or some shit? Why Damian Priest didn't get an invite?
Man.
Why ain't nobody talking to him? I know you mess with Judgment Day. Puerto Rican fan.
You know what I'm saying?
Bring your ass over here and stop messing with these Europe.
You know what I'm saying?
Dominic, you too. Y'all out here looking like Belmont.
Yo. Oh, God.
Hey, for those who from Chicago and listen to this pod, man, think about it. Judgment Day,
next stop.
Just that group of white people that kicks it with the Hispanics. And now they wear Mexican Jordans. Just,
oh man.
It's nothing like seeing white people wear Mexican Jordans and kicking it with Mexicans. Hey, look.
Oh my
Big
God.
Big Bella right now is a white dude who wear Mexican Jordans. You kick it with the Latino.
Hey, shout out to the Mexican Mikes, though.
Yeah.
Again. We the only show in the world that shout out Mexican Mikes, by the way.
That's why you see them two laugh. Because Ross with the Lane Tech, he know. It's always like two white people that kick it with the Latinos more than they kick it with the white people. Mm-hmm. That's Judgment. You mean tell me that Damian Priest about to get booed in Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
Man, nah, I wouldn't want that.
You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't want that for me. I need the same love that that Felix Trinidad got, fam. I'm coming home. You mean tell me I... Like, why can't he be in the Latino world order, y'all?
Yeah. I mean, it would make it seem more hodgepodge if he did. You know what I'm saying? Because right now it's LDF and Rey Mysterio. Like, that's who it is.
And Kemp. Yo, shit. Eddie Guerrero was trying to get Rey Mysterio ass in there the whole time.
Hey.
And
yeah.
Now he getting his ass whooped. by the whites and the Mexicans and the Puerto Rican kid. That's what by Belmont and Laramie. Getting his ass whooped by Fullerton and Central.
Oh, man.
That's me. You know, little Raymond Steele was out here getting his ass whooped by Fullerton and Central. His ass whooped by La Primera, fam. He was getting his ass whooped. So he goes, oh, let me go and bring back the gang that I didn't want to be a part of in the first place. Rey Mysterio doing this is like Aladdin King trying to recruit you, and you say no, but then you turn 40 and want to get in the game. Mm. Now you want to be Aladdin King at 40. That's what this shit is with Rey Mysterio. That's what this is to me. Your 40-year-old Aladdin King soldier at 40.
Yeah, you gotta hang it up, man.
You ain't want to be there. No, man. Shouts out to Michael Cole. Because he be selling that shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's the LWO! And I'd be like, get the fuck up out of here! Like, so what? Because Rey Mysterio wanted to be a gang member at 45.
Mm.
Needed help, so he called the gang at 45.
You know what I'm saying? Hey,
that's what this. We respect you, OG.
You know, this is supposed to play out like original gangsters. It's not supposed to be. It's not. It's not the Blood In, Blood Out reboot.
When the hell out. So I'm like, nah, bring LDF back, fam.
Yeah.
These LWO shirts. Why didn't y'all bring the NWO back?
Man.
LWO back? What about the Flock? Can we get the new version of the Flock, fam?
Yeah. That would go way harder, too, by the way. That would go way harder.
And now, you brought back the worst faction in the WCW.
Mm.
That's the worst. Look. If we were to look, the NWO one faction in WCW history, followed by the Four Horsemen. Okay. Old niggas is the truth.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
40. I'm talking to the 50-year-olds. It's gonna be like, no, Four Horsemen. Nah, nigga. Beat the Four Horsemen's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. They for a certain part of time.
Yeah. Didn't the NWO beat the Four Horsemen so bad that they changed the group twice?
Mm-hmm.
I thought so. I just wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure I wasn't off on that, because I was like, wait, yeah, they beat them so bad that they had to change people.
Twice. Hey, we can't beat these niggas over here.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Mm.
Yes, Brando, right, that'd be right.
You're right.
Nigga, Kurt Hennig killed.
Yeah. And that is how war games should go. Right there. That's how war games should go. Right there.
But I digress.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's ever going to put the LWO on their top five of factions in WCW.
No. Mm-mm.
Lock. Mm-hmm. Not over the Dangerous Alliance.
Absolutely not.
Goddamn, not over.
No, you're right. You're right.
And we got Michael Cole over here talking about some. The LWO is here. We don't care. Nah, yeah. We don't.
No. Great points. I'm not going to challenge them because I was there too. So, you know how that goes.
Man. You could have brought back the Dangerous Alliance. Paul Lee over there. have got you four white people and been like, yo, this is the new Dangerous Lions. You didn't. You got the LWO back. Just so they could fight Fullerton and Laramie. Just so you can do that. But with that being said, I digress. That being said, Rey Mysterio listens to First Black Champion.
Mm-hmm.
He listens. Give a fuck what y'all say. Man. He listens. For months, at least 2 months,
hashtag it.
I told y'all on this show, on this platform, mm-hmm. the only reason that I would care for Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio if it was a mask and career versus hair match at WrestleMania 39 in LA, I brought up the Lucha Libre aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Those are the most legendary matches.
Mm-hmm.
When this man may not only lose his mask, but his career versus that man's hair. You have very important matches in Lucha Libre history. What better place to do it than Los Angeles, California? I even brought up again a pay-per-view that I tell y'all all the time to watch, where I saw Art Barr and Eddie Guerrero fight Octagon, and I forgot the other dude. In a hair versus mask match where Eddie Guerrero and Art Barr lost and they had to cut their hair. When worlds collide, go Google that on YouTube. They got two versions of that bitch on there. Mask versus hair matches are important to Lucha Libre. Mm-hmm. And for the Lucha Libre legend, Rey Mysterio, the only reason that I was going to care about that match is it was his mask and career on the line during that he is going into the Hall of Fame. So it even gives you a level of, damn,
mm-hmm.
Ray might get retired during the weekend that he going into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. They let Rey Mysterio get upset that Dominic yelled at his mama for him to go and be like, now we fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Now the match ended up good. And I tweeted out, okay, y'all made me care.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Logan Paul's podcast, Rey Mysterio brings up everything that I told y'all to the point where he said that he would be interested in a mask versus hair match with Dominic Mysterio.
There it is.
Now, everybody on the internet talking about some, oh, that would be a good idea. Oh, told y'all that shit months ago.
Right. Ray ain't have to tell y'all that. Ray already told you that.
Nothing. Shouts out to Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm. Hey, but Bang did that, so Rey didn't even have to tell you that.
Dead ass. Told y'all. What should have happened? To the point where I don't even want to see that SummerSlam. Nope. That match should not happen in Detroit. It's nothing against Detroit.
No.
Know a lot of great people in Detroit. My granddaddy was living in Detroit for the final years of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Know some great people. But absolutely, that match should not happen in Detroit, Michigan. Should have happened at WrestleMania 39. Now, Chef made a great point. It's like, you know, that blows off the feud.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't want to, it don't have to. Why? Because Dominic Mysterio could have been hiding his damn head. Like, or been like, look at what my dad did to me. He ain't never give me a haircut. He gives me a haircut. And look what he do. Look what he does to me. And you can still have the Bad Bunny in Rey Mysterio match at Backlash. Mm-hmm. Or Rey can retire, or he can come up in that motherfucker with his face.
Yeah, because he's done that before too.
Because he's done that before. But I told y'all, fam, I'm not going to let this look. I'm not going to hold y'all. I'm telling y'all, if this match happens, I told y'all when it should have happened, mm-hmm. why it should have happened there. And then it's WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. The grandest stage of them all. And you mean to tell me on the weekend that Rey Mysterio is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame? The emotion that could have went behind, damn, is Rey Mysterio going to get retired this weekend? By his own son?
Yeah.
During the weekend, he gets into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Or is Rey going to pay his son back, whoop his ass, and cut his hat? That's way more intrigue than them doing this shit in Detroit.
And to your point, because they're not the greatest on the mic, either one of them, that would have been a greater selling point, even just going into WrestleMania. Like, a lot of these, well, the vignettes have been cool because it's not that much talking. But the actual promos that were cut, some of them, cringeworthy to me. You know what I'm saying? And with the vet and the OG that Rey Mysterio is on the ring, I can't go to one mic moment where I was like, yeah, Rey really got his shit off and did that. I just never had that from Rey. But I don't, to the point, I don't even expect it from him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he, because he's not Eddie. He's not Conan. He's not, you know what I'm saying, other Latin superstars that were just incredible on the mic. Right. So why I was on board with you from the door is because, yeah, I don't think I care about Rey Mysterio being in a regular match against anybody. I think that there needs to be something else at stake or something else on the line to make me be like, oh, yo, I got to check this out, because the story he tells in the ring is way greater than the story he tells on the mic.
But Rey Mysterio, thank y'all. Thank you and your family mm-hmm. for listening to First Black Champ. Because we've been telling y'all since the rumors started that it should have been you versus your son in a mask and a career versus hair match at WrestleMania 39 in LA because of the historical relevance of Lucha Libre and it being in LA. Detroit don't deserve a match like that, fam. Sorry. Detroit deserves a Detroit street fight. A Motor City street fight. Come to think about it, I just thought about it when me saying that. It's like all of the rough and tough cities have like street.
Oh, yeah.
Chicago street fight, a hostage street fight, Detroit yeah. city, Detroit or Motor City street fight. Like, why was there like a LA street fight, or was it like mm-hmm. too much gangs involved for you to be like call it a street fight?
I think they did one. But, you know, but you're never going to hear, like, for instance, like, it's never going to be a Sioux City street fight. You know what I mean? It's like,
right, yeah.
Sioux City, Iowa, come on, bro. It's barely pavement out there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so.
Seth Rollins versus Riddle in the Davenport, Iowa street fight. Like,
yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Topeka, Kansas street fight. Huh?
The Boise, Idaho street fight, like.
Like, oh, okay.
The fuck? Like, is there street fight out here?
Right, in Bismarck, North Dakota. The street fight in Bismarck? You get attacked by a bear.
Right, the Mount Rushmore street fight. Like, niggas is fighting in front of Mount Rushmore and shit. Like, what is y'all doing? Hey, man, speaking of what the fuck is y'all doing, something that was rumored to take place finally mm-hmm. took place, where Trish Stratus finessed everybody
hey.
And turned on Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, with finessing, yeah, the Tupelo, Mississippi Massacre, friend.
Hey, should that, I need to Google that. That might have happened, kid.
Right.
Might have happened.
I don't think that worked for us.
Right.
I think first
Greg the Hammer Valentine and Stan Hansen come out like, whoa, wait, whoa.
Oh, The Texas Outlaws versus two black dudes.
Right.
Tupelo, Mississippi Massacre.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, don't do Cedric Alexander like that. Don't do him.
Hey, man, first black champ, Becky Lynch turns on, gets turned on. Well, I messed that all up, too. It sound kind of bad. Trish Stratus turns on Becky Lynch after losing the tag titles, which it feels like the way that this is positioned is that Trish beat Lita ass. And then she was like, hey, I'll team up with you. Loses on purpose. And then beats Becky Lynch's ass.
Yeah.
Let me be the first to say, I've never seen Trish do something so devious.
Yeah, true.
It normally be around flaunting her chest. Mm-hmm. Not a bad thing. Hello. I'm just saying, historically, these type of situations is like Mickie James.
Yeah.
Trish just was like, I'm going to use what I got to get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
This time, Mother Trish Stratus.
Mama Trish.
Mama Trish is like, I'm going to beat this bitch up that I used to. For some reason, they think she's still on my level. She was huff as hell at WrestleMania. I should be the tag team champion. Then I'm going to beat this bitch ass over here because she chose this bitch. I'm still better than both of these hoes.
That's tough.
I'm going to show y'all that shit. So that's what it felt like to me with the Trish Stratus turn. I'm better than both of y'all bitches. Your thoughts?
My first thought when I seen that was, well, one was, the real number one was, man, Trish needs to get stiffer on these executions. Like,
yeah.
It's just, it's almost there. It's like, dang, I know you're the OG, but you moving like you don't want to hurt yourself. And that's just alarming to me. Second thing was, you know, I thought this was happening at WrestleMania with Damage Control. Even though I was like, Trish is going to cost them these titles. I was like, I don't know how, but Trish is going to cost them these titles. And it happened. It just didn't happen. When I said against the team, I thought, but again, I know the recipe now. Whenever Raquel Rodriguez come dressed as her partner, she winning. She is undefeated when she dressed like her partner. It is. That's a fast fact for y'all. That's
dead a giveaway.
You know what I'm saying? That's an SC fact for y'all, man. If you ever want. When Raquel dressed up like her partner, it's a dub. You can count it.
All these bitches dress alike, fam. You already know that.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, what is very interesting, because now I think you're right. At first, I thought it was going to lead into Trish and Lita running roughshod over the new girls and them doing the whole, hey, we the OGs, we literally started this on Raw. Like, if we would have never main evented Raw that night, y'all wouldn't be here kind of deal. But I gotta concede. I gotta agree. I think Trish put Lita down, probably with the whole mask on, the hoodie or whatever. She came out with her poo shiesty on and did the work. You dig? And then was like, oh, and then she took it off and then came up, yo, Becky, I got you. You know what I'm saying? He was like, but no, I got you at the same time. And even though, and I love the setup though. I love the setup because Becky Lynch hates to lose. When her bottom lip get the fumbling and she just looking around and she don't know what's going to happen. Usually somebody get beat up. But she was trying to give the OG some grace. And the OG beat her ass.
Yeah.
I like that. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we talking about. Like, we need that 10X for the draft week. We need moments like that 10X for the draft week. Because now what you do is you have a story that for the women's division that we care about again. the women's division right now, where we sit after WrestleMania, there are no storylines that we care about. I believe that Trish Stratus and whatever she decided to beat up Becky and Lita, which we now believe is what happened, is a very compelling story. I just want to see how they end it and what's happening after it. Because with it only being one newbie, one very successful newbie out the bunch of this story, where does this spill over to? Does this all effectively make Bayley a heel and a face or a tweener now? Because obviously Damage Control is breaking up.
Yeah.
You did?
You can see that.
You know, obviously Mercedes will not be in attendance. and neither will Charlotte Flair. So with this, I just want to see what happens next. Some new, young, successful woman has to get into this story. And this would be a very interesting way to bring Bayley full circle into being a face, and her and Becky going against Trish and Lita sometime soon.
Yeah, so I don't know what is going to happen, but I believe this is great for the women's division. This is what I've been asking for.
Mm-hmm.
Secondary feuds.
Yes.
I think we get so caught up in who's going to win the Raw or SmackDown Women's Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really get caught up into the Tag Team Championship mm-hmm. like that. But we needed a secondary feud
mm-hmm.
to really put the women's division in a place where I feel like you have multiple feuds that's going on that does not connect with each other, but it gives you a more robust women's division. I think Becky versus Trish gives you that and yeah. more. Mm-hmm. I'm invested.
Mm-hmm.
The way that it went down made me invested. I would have been invested if she would have turned at WrestleMania. I would have been invested if her and Lita did a two-woman power trip just to let these bitches know that we still out here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm invested either way because, I mean, I know that we've talked about Becky sometimes on this show by not being the man character is mm-hmm. great. But sometimes the man wrestler don't necessarily look like what the character gives off.
Right.
Oh, it's going to give it with this one.
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to give it in the promos. Oh, man. The promos. I will go as far as to say that this might be the feud of the summer.
Mm.
Men or women.
Okay.
If they do this right, Becky versus Trish is the feud of the summer because of not only the ramifications of it, and mm-hmm. what I mean by that is what it could do for the women's division,
yeah.
the promos, the flashbacks, the matches,
yeah.
the emotion behind it. I'm going out on a full limb and saying, yo, we might look back on this summer mm-hmm. and it's the summer of Becky and Trish. If Trish wants to do
right.
the time left. Like, if she wants to get to that, I don't think it's going to be a feud. I don't think it's Sammy like stuff like that.
Right, right.
But I do believe that when we look back at this summer,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be looking back and saying, damn, Becky and Trish, that mm-hmm. shit was dope.
So dig it. Because even though I think your finish line is a little higher than mine, but I do like where you're going because the women's division does need it. I'm not even speaking against it. My question now though is to you, does this era want to see Lita and Trish?
I don't think we
can't even say again, that's why I'm literally saying this era. Does this era want to see Lita and Trish at all?
I don't think Lita.
Okay.
But I think Trish.
Okay.
Also, Trish has preserved her body.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Trish is still Trish.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, she really the first GOAT of our generation.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So I think, and it's again, it's who you're going up against.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna front. I love Bianca Belair. Mm-hmm. Don't care about Bianca Belair versus Trish Stratus.
No.
I don't care about Trish Stratus versus Bayley. I didn't care about Trish Stratus versus Charlotte Flair.
Mm-hmm.
I care about this one, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because the aggression that could come from this, too.
Yeah.
And we ain't seen heel Trish in years.
Right, yeah.
So yeah. This might be a chance for Trish to be like, let me go back in my old bag and add layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I'm the OG.
Yeah.
Y'all call me back here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Bayley, no. Bianca, Charlotte, any of these young chicks, no.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear her verbal joust with her and Becky, mm-hmm. like her and Becky, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. I personally don't want to see Lita versus Trish this era, so I can't. So I could see the younger demo, the new generation of wrestling fans not wanting to see it either. However, I am looking forward to Bayley versus Dakota Kai, and we can get that started whenever y'all. We can get that started whenever y'all ready.
But see, that's why I probably am more excited about the women's division than I have been in quite some time. Mm-hmm. Because even with the breakup, the potential breakup of Damage Control,
mm-hmm.
you got Io who about to go up against Bianca Belair. Mm-hmm. And that match gonna be fire emojis.
Mm-hmm.
Let y'all know that now. They can do that as many times as they want to. Mm-hmm. Don't see it being a weak ass match.
Fact.
Because the people that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see Dakota Kai step out. I want to see Dakota Kai drop her nuts and really show the main roster that she got it. I do not want Dakota Kai to be put on the back burner while all of this shit is going on.
Right.
I'm a big Dakota Kai fan. I think she got it. I think that she can add layers to her character, mm-hmm. being Team Kick or being the crazy chick.
Yeah.
I think that she's done those things so well, and I think her and Bayley in some matches would be dope. But you see what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. We barely even mentioned the world championships.
Right.
We ain't even mentioned Rhea Ripley. That's the crazy part.
Yeah.
We have not mentioned quite possibly the best woman out of the bunch,
mm-hmm.
Rhea Ripley.
Mm-hmm.
Because I said this and it's coming true. Who is her foil now?
Yeah, man.
Who are we feeding to her? Who on SmackDown are you going to feed to her?
Well, unfortunately, the answer is Ronda Rousey. That's the unfortunate answer because, and the thing is, it's the prize fighting tactic, right? Because Rhea Ripley just won at WrestleMania against Charlotte Flair. And you know, I'll say somewhere along the line, the last 10 years, I would say maybe. So like literally going back to WrestleMania 29, 30. We had the big fight feel matches, and it's more about that now than necessarily to have even the really great opponents. And obviously, the women's division still building up. A lot of women trying to build their cachet up. And for right now, even though we, the wrestling community, love, respect, appreciate, and know Rhea Ripley get busy, they're trying to get her on the track to where the Today Show know her and care. They want to get her some sports in the coverage. They want to get her on The View or whatever else. You know what I'm saying? So with that, unfortunately, Rhea Ripley has Ronda Rousey next, and then they'll probably give her some people that we actually want to see her wrestle against. That's just my view.
Now, my view is her next opponent is somebody who's getting drafted.
Hmm. I dig it.
Yeah, I think that's who her next opponent is. Somebody that's getting drafted from NXT. I would damn near say Roxanne Perez is going to be her next opponent.
Oh, wow. I forgot about her.
I damn near say her. Mm. But, I mean, it just don't feel like Charlotte's going to be back anytime soon.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Charlotte Flair until Survivor Series, to be honest with you.
Shit, I'm thinking Royal Rumble, low-key.
Mm.
I mean, are we going to fast-track Hell to 16?
Depending on how the summer goes. hey, because I'm glad you said that, too, matter of fact. Because this is like, this is the John Cena moment, right? Or even taking it a step back, this is the Shawn Michaels moment. Let's get the belt off Shawn. See what y'all do with it. Because if you can't do nothing with it, we gonna call Shawn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we gonna call Shawn. You can't do this? All right, well then we gotta do this. And then, hey, John Cena, same thing. Hey, look, if you can't do this, we gotta call John. And John is gonna do this and sell shirts.
Yep.
So you gotta figure this out. So
basically. Mm-hmm. So we gonna see, man, but I think this in the long run is great for the women's division that we're talking about everything but the title right now. Mm-hmm. So we getting grudge matches, we're getting emotional joints. I think people should just stop talking about what they feel like is wrong with the women's division, because I don't think there's anything wrong with it right now.
No.
I just think only thing is that Ronda Rousey needs an opponent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for all things considered, the women's division is very clear and defined. It's just about putting them to work.
Yeah.
You know, like, while on the flip side, a lot of men, especially in that third and fourth quarter of 2022, that were supposed to be them by now, it ain't happened.
Yep.
And that's the bigger worry.
Yeah. So I didn't put this on the docket today. There's two things I didn't put on the docket. Mm. But one is what we was going to already talk about anyway. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Bloodline continues.
Yeah, man.
Now it has added Riddle to help them out against Solo.
Yeah, Riddle too.
Who's talking? You know, who talked?
Yeah, finally. Like, hey, whoop ass for a year, but as soon as you doubt me, now I gotta say something.
Now I gotta say something.
Wait, hold on, fam. Talking about my daddy, they daddy. Yo, what?
Right, yeah. Like, you getting too deep, fam. Like, you tripping. Like, you're not even blood, technically.
Yeah.
You are a liaison to us. But it's continuing. Mm-hmm. They're going to have the return match in 2 weeks before the tag team championships. Again, hopefully. They drop one of them joints on them. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this Bloodline KO semi situation that is continuing? Should this ended at WrestleMania? Should that have been the blow off, or are we bleeding it a bit because Roman ain't gonna be around?
We definitely bleeding it a bit, and Riddle's not helping me. Good callback though, because I forgot that it was set up that Solo took out Riddle, so I do mess with that piece of it. But man, This is flat. This is real flat. This is Sprite left out at the cookout 3 o'clock yesterday flat. And I don't know what can be done at this point, because we know that the Usos will be 10-time tag team champions. So I'm not even worried about them getting the belts back. I am worried about how this story is just looking and playing out. Like, we should have got Jay versus Sammy in a steel cage by now. You dig? We should have gotten, we're already getting Solo versus Riddle, but somebody needs to get put down and put out of action to make me care about this. And I don't care who. I don't care if it's Jimmy. But somebody got to get attacked and beat down, and we don't see them till June. Man. That's when you have me at my attention. If we talking about there's cracks in the bloodline, there's deception in the bloodline, they got to lose more than belts. Because truth be told, Usos lost the belts, and ain't nobody lost since.
Right. We just lost that one night, which goes to my guarantee.
Mm.
Usos getting a pair of them belts back
mm-hmm.
in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting them back. I don't see why they don't.
Yeah.
Usos getting them belts back. Mm. They will have a pair of the Undisputed Tag Team Championships.
Mm.
Because I still think they're getting split.
Mm-hmm.
But, here's a caveat to this. And Brandon said some shit at the same damn time that I was going to say it. The caveat here is this. If Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns ain't fed up with the Usos. Because he dead ass been talking to the Usos like the Usos are that one nigga in the friend group that's just lame as hell. And he say some shit that's lame as hell, and you be like,
I'm like, damn, Gene.
This my nigga. Get his lame ass up out of here. The only caveat here is Solo turns on his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Because one or the other is going to happen soon.
Yeah.
Either Solo going to turn on his brothers, or his brothers going to win them belts, and all is going to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you notice, the tweaks in the characters of the Usos are starting to go back to old Usos.
Yeah.
Not bloodline Usos.
No.
They're a little bit too fucking happy.
Yeah. I'm on top. Get them. Which I mess with them.
Yeah, like the mix between them and Card Crackers.
Mm-hmm.
When they came back as the Card Crackers. Like, they ain't been mad, really.
No.
In these promos and stuff. They ain't really gave me the aggression.
Mm-hmm.
We still gonna get Uso Penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't gonna be bloodline Uso Penitentiary. If Solo thumbs one of them in the throat.
I got my guarantee now. I had something else, but no, I'm going with this one. Thank you for pointing this out to me too. Thank you and Brandon.
Let's go.
My guarantee this week is that the Usos get drafted to Raw because Roman Reigns said so. That's it. And again, if the draft is iconic, if it's this, and it's like, yo, hey, get them out of my sight. Get them to Raw. Mm. I don't want to deal with them. I don't want to see them. And the thing is, they be like, oh, well, since we got to stay on Raw, then we want them Raw tag team titles. So they going to win and be up. And it's like, no, we cool. We'll stay here because you know why? Jay fed the fuck up. And it was like, no, you know what? We'll stay over here because never forget Tribal Chief. Never forget Tribal Chief. We was the first ones with titles. We was the first ones with titles in the WWE. And it's all facts. So that's my guarantee.
I love that guarantee. Because then he can hit us with the, instead of me whooping my cousin's ass like I always do,
mm-hmm.
and causing some friction in the family, they could just go ahead and go over there.
Yeah.
And do what they do.
That's right. Remember, SmackDown is Roman's show.
Hey. Hey. I like that guarantee.
Mm.
I love that guarantee. I'm gonna jump on that guarantee train.
Mm, let's go.
I like that one. And the last thing, and I didn't put this in the joint,
mm-hmm.
but CM Punk is back in the news, fam.
Oh, damn, for real?
Yes.
I missed that.
Apparently, reportedly, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk wants to come back to AEW.
Oh, really?
He's going to have a meeting with Tony Khan. He's going to have a meeting with the FTR and Chris Jericho, which is interesting because Chris Jericho basically said, hey, I don't fuck with him.
Right.
I ain't working with him.
Right.
But it's interesting that never trust a man who ain't never seen a Rocky movie. Yeah,
that's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Like, not even Creed, my nigga.
Yeah.
I watched Creed 3 twice.
Dog, they had Rocky 5 running so much on, what was that, Spike or TNN? That, no, you just should have just seen it.
Go for it. Yeah, you should have. You just should have seen it. I think he bullshitting.
Yeah.
I think CM Punk bullshitting when he say that shit anyway. He ain't never seen no Rocky movie.
That's wild.
Cut it out, fam. But CM Punk is reportedly going to talk to the big folks over at AEW. AEW is reportedly going to have, they're going to announce a new show called AEW Collision, which will come on Saturday. So it will be AEW's version of WCW Saturday night. Not sure what was going to happen with Rampage or whatever, but reportedly, allegedly, CM Punk would be the lead dog on AEW Collision. Plus, they're going to be, it's going to be all in Wembley Stadium. We know how big Wembley Stadium is, over 100K. So they looking to fill that joint up and they need as much star power as they can get. Hell, there is so many rumors going around that Drew McIntyre has reportedly allegedly not re-signed with the WWE and his contract will run out right around the time where he could be at AEW All in London, where he could be Drew Galloway again. But that's a rumor that I don't know if it's unfounded or not. However, what is that CM Punk wants to wrestle again and he wants to come back to AEW, but we all know how that ended. So, I feel like I know the answer to this question.
Okay.
But since we are back with the Phil news and the potential return of Phil and that he wants to wrestle, but knowing the dynamics, if you are Tony Khan, are you welcoming back Phil with open arms?
Yes. But not as a wrestler. But not as a wrestler. I think that, and see, and this is where Vince McMahon showed his genius over the years, especially in the early 90s. Because and the 80s, I'm sorry, because when Jesse the Body Ventura really didn't have it no more, he found a spot for him.
Right.
Same with Gorilla Monsoon. You know what I'm saying? Same with the Macho Man Randy Savage. Even though Macho Man was anxious to get back in the ring, he was like, well, bro, this ain't really what you want. Well, this ain't really what I want, but we can put you here because I see value in you. I think at 40 plus, with the heavy bags under his eyes, CM Punk is just way more valuable to the AEW machine, either in color commentary or in a Road Dogg, Shawn Michaels type of role. Now, even when I say that, there's a certain caveat to it, right? Because obviously CM Punk is pro indie, but they're trying to run a wrestling corporation over there. And I can't see him specifically and Chris Jericho again for another reason bumping heads. But if he was willing to get on board with the corporate wrestling business, I think he could be a great vessel for the indie wrestling community that's there and exists. Really, he got six spades in his hand, one diamond, one heart, but he could really fuck this hand up in my estimation. Is one of those things where we find out again, does CM Punk really love wrestling, or does Phillip Brooks really just love himself? And I think that's what will come out here. If it's all about him wrestling, then Phillip Brooks just loves the fact that CM Punk is the greatest thing that's happened to AEW from a numbers perspective in any way. He right. don't care about wrestling to me. If he's all about is wrestling or bust for me with this company.
Hey, man, I ain't gonna front. It's a no for me, dog. You got to figure out if the juice is worth the squeeze.
Word.
I don't think so right about now. Mm. And this is somebody that roots for everything Chicago.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Not in this case. If CM Punk wants to return to wrestling, I hate to say what I'm about to say. Mm. It can't be with AEW. Mm. He's got to be with WWE.
Mm. Okay.
He has to be in the confines of something that's just a bit more structured.
Yeah.
In order to work for him. It's not Phil I'm afraid of. It's AEW letting Phil do what he want to do. Mm. Because they don't have the people in place to make sure that it happens. Mm-hmm. See, this is the point of where I say sometimes the corp is good. So somebody who worked in the corporate structure mm-hmm. for a number of years now, and for somebody who did their things independently or loosely mm-hmm. for years before that, I miss that. Mm-hmm. I miss being able to do what I want to do, how I want to do it without the say of a whole bunch of people. Mm-hmm. And then just basically assess the wins and that thing and give it to them. So they're like, all right, cool. But I also know that where I'm at right now, I'm best suited for where I'm at.
All right. I got you.
Because I need that structure. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I would fit independently the way that I did in 2013. Mm. Mm. Because now I think I'm the new dog that's trying to teach the youngins. And the youngins like, man, get your old ass up out of here. We doing what we want to do over here. Mm-hmm. And low key, everything you telling us over here is the shit that they was doing over there. Mm-hmm. You just didn't like the people that was telling you. Mm-hmm. But the way things are set up now, I think CM Punk is best suited in the WWE and not in AEW. Because he got to realize that he ain't what he think he is. Mm. He's not the OG that everybody cares about. Okay. He's not the OG that everybody fucks with. He's the epitome of your heroes disappointing you when you meet them. Mm. Mm. Wow. So go somewhere else that's a bit more structured that don't call for you to be that OG.
Yeah.
Go back to the WWE.
Yeah.
Things are different now, Phil.
You said something so factual, and I was going to chime in with it, but you beat me to it, and that's amazing because it fit right into what you were saying. Yeah, CM Punk complained so much about corporate and WWE Corp, Titan Sports, you know what I'm saying? But all he did was take what he did learn in that structure and try to apply it to AEW.
Yep.
And he got pushback. And maybe that was just what was supposed to happen to him. You dig what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Because the thing is, it's like, fam, see, this is why we did what we did. The thing that will always hurt the majority of the indie wrestlers is that if they see high five, low six figures, and they get that instant gratification of the love, they're always going to assume that they are doing the better quality product to people that are packing arenas and stadiums. But because you pack the 500-seater venue or maybe even the 10,000-seater, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to diminish them to that. Maybe they're doing the 5 or a 10. But you're doing it independently. But the thing is, The bag is different. The responsibility is different. The reach is different. And I think the indie wrestling community sometimes is very short-sighted on the fact that y'all only talking it and kicking it amongst yourselves, where when you get a part of these corporate structures, they trying to cast a wider net of just wrestling fans that maybe don't even know if you exist. And I think CM Punk is the epitome of all of that. So it is kind of serendipitous and ironic at the same time for him to go through what he's going through with AEW, but still wanting the job.
Right. Look, man. That's
crazy.
Now, here's the thing about the whole CM Punk, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega type situation. That in hindsight, I had to look at. It sounds like to me that CM Punk feels like that he was attacked by them. Dude, they came in my room. I ain't come in their room. Why the fuck I want to work for that shit? But then, reportedly, allegedly, you got overtures. You got people who are speculating. You have all these things about Kenny Omega. Like, damn, let me send out these fillers to see if they'll fuck with me over there. Young Bucks too. Who's over in WWE? And it seems to feel like he's doing pretty good for himself. The same dude that was mentioned on AEW when Sting was doing a promo aimed at MJF. Cody. When Cody comes back, it's easier for you to go fuck with the homie. Man, let's just come over here. You seem like you're doing pretty good for yourself. And oh yeah, it is people that I would love to wrestle. The Young Bucks would love to wrestle the New Day. Kenny Omega would love to be in the title picture. Because also, if I'm Kenny Omega, I'm looking at my shelf life. Man. And I'm like, man, my body been beat up, fam. I might as well try to see what it is over there. Just to scratch that itch. You know who don't have an itch to scratch? Other than I just want to wrestle? Phil Brooks. See, look, I'm going to end this off by saying this. I'm always skeptical when some nigga just like, man, I just want to wrestle. When a nigga is just, when somebody says, oh, I just want to. We all just want to, fam.
Right.
That's what we wanted to do before your ass got here. And that's what we want to continue to do. But you know what that sounds like to me, man? A drug addict. Who just come around family. Like, I just want to be around y'all, fam. That's it. Nothing else. I just want to be around. I just want to boom, 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 boom. Sooner rather than later, you're going to steal from them people that you just want to be around.
Yeah. Especially when you ask and don't get.
That's CM Punk to me. I just want to wrestle. We'll go wrestle at AAW Wrestling in Chicago. Go wrestle at an indie.
Yo.
If you just want to wrestle, go wrestle. Just say you want to be in the limelight. You want to be at the head of the table.
Yeah.
You want people talking to you. Because if it was just wanting to go wrestle, your ass could be in Berwyn tonight. Wrestling.
That's a fact. And also, because I want to throw it out there, because I got a special shout out at the end of the show. CM Punk, if you really just want to wrestle and you really want to have your impact cause a shift, go to NWA Power.
Yeah.
Because they not only would make you look a lot better with the talent they got over there, I think it accomplishes all of your goals at the same time. Because they're not exactly corporate. They're not exactly trying to be corporate. And you going to wrestle. You going to get back to the core essence of wrestling. So, if you just want to wrestle, it's some spots to do that. Don't think it's only two. Don't be like the Twitter community that only count two companies in this wide world of wrestling. No, it's like 15.
Yeah.
it's a bunch of stuff you could be doing.
That's what you want to do. Go do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't. You want to be in the limelight. You want to be in the spotlight while you're doing it. So you could kill me with this, if this is true.
Mm-hmm.
You could kill me with this, man. I just want to be, it's just for the love. You can't, like, CM Punk could kill me with this Mitch in the car shit. Like, man, it's for the love of the hustle. I need it. Because we all know what comes with needing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about being in that ring. It's about the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And it still feels to me that Phil wants the spotlight to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, I'm willing to work with y'all. Ain't no unwilling. I will. See, there's a difference between willing and will to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Willing is like, man, if it come down to it.
Like, I'll do that.
I'll do that shit. Will is, nah, we going to go make this money.
Mm-hmm.
We going to sell these tickets together. That willingly shit. Ain't no will. I will willingly have sex with Halle Berry.
Yeah.
No, I will have sex with Halle Berry, fam. There's a difference.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Difference how you say things, fam. So, yeah. And then plus, man, I think, I hate to say what I'm about to say, so I'm probably just going to end it with this. Man, my man really got a boosted up ego, fam.
Oh yeah.
You wasn't the man in high school, Phil. You
damn,
wasn't.
Damn, homie.
You was not the man in high school. You was probably the man in your lunch period.
Mm.
Like, everybody fuck with you during your lunch period. But when lunch was over, so was that fame.
Oh man. So before we officially thank you all and get up out of here, I just want to send a special shout out to Chris Masters, man. Seen he's in NWA now.
Mm-hmm.
Looking healthy, looking strong. I don't know if it was a doc or an interview, but I'm watching it because I have been very curious over the last few years about what he's been going through. Because, you know, he has his own road to redemption and all of that. Very curious to see how it is, but you know, to now be an elder statesman as far as age, but to have lived a really real life and to come back to wrestling, proud of that young man for doing that. And yeah, just want to see what's up with him. I try to catch NWA Power, man. Honestly, I know this is probably a super unpopular opinion, but outside of the WWE umbrella, I think that they have the best talent and the best wrestlers, even though Nick Aldis ain't been there in a minute. But I still like a lot of what I see from over there versus any other organization. So I'll always just be like, yo, I just hope they win, even though I heard the owner don't really be like, well, he probably kind of be on the CM Punk shit. Hey, but whatever. We appreciate y'all. That's what matters. We appreciate y'all for checking out the show today, man. The live keeps going up and it keeps going crazy. Y'all keep us entertained while we try to entertain y'all. That's a beautiful thing. Likes, comments, shares, you know, working on more content. Look, we about to get Pedro out the way. You know what I'm saying? So y'all make sure y'all share that.
We are at, I think, 957.
957.
Because Roman gets his 1,000th day at Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia. We celebrating 1,000 in Saudi Arabia, Jack.
There we go. Hey, Pedro, count your days. Count your effing days, Pedro. But, hey, man, likes, comments, shares, questions, innuendo, possibilities, nostalgia, all of it. Greatly appreciated on the group page as well as in this thread while we do this live, obviously. Bang and I could do the show without all of you, but you being a part of this community, being along for the ride, makes it that much greater. So we greatly and sincerely appreciate all of you for doing that. And remember, If you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. Pick VPB. We are out. Trade Johnny Wrestling to Paraguay.
God damn.